This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show, live from KeyBank Center. Here's your host, Brian Cozio.
Deflected down low. I don't know if Quinn got his stick on it or not. We'll find out who takes the lead down the bench. They're talking about it. Byram is told it's yours.
Yeah, I think this goes off maybe the back of the defenseman's leg here as Byram takes the shot to the net.
4-3 Sabres with 4:06 to go in the second.
Dan Dunleavy, Rob Ray there on the call. That's your game-winning goal, Bo Byram, late in the second period, putting Buffalo up 4-3. They add an empty netter in the final minute in the third and win it 5-3. But that goal from Byram is our goal of the game, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. Welcome back to KeyBank Center. Brian Colesdale here along with Pat Mellicaro. Paul Hamilton's awaiting entry into the Sabres dressing room to speak to the players here. A 5-3 win for Buffalo. They win three in a row. And as of this moment, if you look at the standings, the Sabres are in solo second place in the Atlantic Division with a 4-4-1 record, just 2 points back of the Florida Panthers, who have both played the same number of games. And guess what? It'll be Buffalo and Florida in the next game. We'll talk about that later. On to this game, Pat. The Sabres win their third straight.
Second game in a row they've scored an empty net goal.
That's right.
To finish things off. And again, it was today Detroit had a lot of chances before Jack Quinn was able to send it down the ice and score. Last game, it was 5 minutes of empty net time for Dallas. But the Sabres found a way again to keep that equalizer from going in the net. And a big win today after you kind of felt Detroit was the better team from about the second half of the second period on.
Yeah, and for the Sabres to be able to figure out a way to finish it, that's one thing last year. Even when they had leads, they found ways. We even mentioned the Detroit game here last year where they had a 3-0 lead and figured out a way not to finish it. Lukanen, who hasn't been on his, we'll say, A game, and maybe even not so much today, but did come up with a nice third period to shut Detroit down. They did not score in the third.
And that's going to happen. Yeah. But that's when your team comes out and scores four goals before the empty netter tonight and picks you up a little bit. So you're not going to always get the 30 out of 32 save day from your goaltender or what have you. Sometimes you get days like this where one or two of them go in where you might have wanted it back, or you create a chance for the other team that allows them to get back in this game, but your offense is able to carry you enough. Special teams goal, a couple of players, three of the five goals are from players that score their first of the season. So we talk about complementary scoring in a couple of those cases. That rounds out the picture and why the Sabres won today.
You talked about the third, the team aspect of the third. They only allowed four shots on goal. So that means there were some shot attempts that were blocked. We saw Greenway get in on it. We saw some of the other defensemen get in on it. Malenstein had a big block there. So Malenstein. So I think the Sabres are buying in on this. Hey, we've got to be sound defensively. We can still go for our offense. The goals are going in for them now, too. So that's obviously the best complementary hockey you can have.
Yeah, a lot of block shots. And even that sequence after the last power play for Buffalo, they didn't score, didn't get a lot of chances, but then they kept pressing the play and didn't allow Detroit to really get out of their zone. And we heard it from the fans. They were really appreciative of the efforts of the team. Again, it doesn't result in a goal, but they didn't sit back. They didn't let Detroit take the play to them necessarily, and that's such a big factor in why you're able to hold off a team like the Red Wings.
5-3 the final. Buffalo wins their third straight 4-4-1 run. They are solo second place in the Atlantic Division. Let's go down to the locker room. Live with Paul Hamilton is Rasmus Dahlin.
Rasmus, three straight wins. That was something that really hurt you guys last year, where you couldn't string wins together, and now you've got three straight. What's it been like for you to be able to string those three together?
It's nice. We find ways to close games now, and we play a full 60. And the third period, when we have the lead, we're good at closing games right now. I think that's what helps us, and it's nice getting a power play goal today.
What's the key to that improvement, though, Rasmus, to close those games?
You know, it's been a learning process. You have to really take care of the puck. That's our main thing, and that's what we're doing right now. We keep it away from the middle, and I mean, we're blocking shots. We're doing everything we can, so it's nice.
You seem to be playing at the level he's playing at right now. What does that do to a team? How does it transform you guys?
Yeah, it gives confidence to everyone. You know, when you see our best player dominates the game, you know, it gives us confidence too. I mean, in general, just give him the puck and something good will happen. That's what I'm trying to do.
Rasmus, it seemed like you were very active in the first half of that game offensively and just all over the ice. Was that something you're trying to get back into your game, you know, being active like that?
Yeah, for sure. That's the type of player I am. I am an offensive defenseman. And, you know, when I am involved, that's when I play my best and move my feet. So I'm trying to, for sure, get back to that.
As a group, you look like you were on your toes to start the game. Is that just based on Detroit and that matchup, or is that something you can do every game?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to have to be our standard, but we knew coming into this game is very important. A great start. I think that set the tone for the whole game, and we just got to continue to do that. Yeah, we played really good.
You make a tough mistake on the power play, and it ends up in the back of your net. Is your mentality then just go get another one?
Yeah. That's also one thing I really like about our team right now. One goal doesn't affect us. We just keep going and doing our thing. You can look at that stuff after the game and try to improve. But in the game, you just got to move on to the next shift.
The way the power play was going, did you guys feel confident you were building toward, you know, getting one final?
Yeah, for sure. We've been working really hard every practice. Outside the rink, talking to each other, we're really trying to find our identity for our power play, which we are working on still, but we're improving. We're getting better every night, I feel like, and eventually it will be really good.
Yes, Rasmus Dahlin. Teach Thompson is over here. Before they come over, I'll ask you first. 104.6, that's the hardest shot since 2021 in the NHL. Do you know when you like are up in that range?
I mean, I don't ever really know how hard it is, but usually I can tell when I get a hold of one. That one felt pretty good. Obviously the goalie saved it, but Sucks found it and put it home, so that was a good feeling.
How about you know, finally getting the power play goal? It seemed like even before the goal, you were getting some good opportunities on that power play, weren't you?
Yeah, we had some really good looks. Thought we did a good job retrieving pucks, moving them quick and getting shots. And I think you get shots off of retrievals, you get some scrambling. I think that's kind of how we got the goal there. We release it behind the net, change sides, up over one-timer, and Zuck's coming through the slot, gets the rebound.
It's an easy one to get up for, Tage. Division game against that team. You guys had a couple of close ones with them last year. Didn't go your way, of course.
Yeah, no, these are important games. We knew that heading in. And, you know, we've been, you know, towards the end of the season, last couple of years, where it comes down to a point, you know, and these ones in the beginning of the seasons, they add up. So, you know, it's a big game for us. And I thought we came out with some good intensity and desperation.
Is it just stringing the wins together? That was something you guys couldn't do last year. You couldn't string the wins together. Here we are in October, and you're doing it now. Is that just an important part right there to be able to get the three in a row?
Yeah, it's huge. The results are big. And I think sometimes maybe we've gone caught in the trap of playing a good game or two and then feeling good about ourselves, and then you start to let the habits slip. And forget what got you those results. And I think so far everyone in the room's just been doing a good job of not really worrying about the results, just kind of sticking with what's going to get those results, the process, kind of enjoying that grind. I mean, you see guys selling out to block shots like Beck, like those little things add up over the course of the game, and that's kind of what pushes you over the edge and gets you the win. And think we've been playing some really good hockey even from the start of the season. Obviously, we had a couple ones where we'd like to have back, but 82 games, long season. I think you get in a rhythm, you can start stringing some wins together. It's a big thing for us.
What's Jason brought to that power play for you guys, Zucker?
Yeah, he's just a veteran guy, and I think his hockey sense is off the charts. So, just getting him out there is big for us. And in terms of retrieving pucks, he reads the play really well, so he knows where to pop and into those little pockets for support. And he can score. He can finish plays off, and you saw that tonight. And he's a big piece of our team and a big piece of that power play.
Mentally, you gave up the shorthanded goal. You don't want to, but still, you get the next goal to take the lead, and then you shut it down in the third period. It seems like you guys can get over that a little bit quicker than maybe before.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, them scoring on the power play, on our power play is a tough one. But up until that point, I honestly liked our power play. I thought we had good movement, good entries, shots. I think on that one, for me, like, Dahl's faked me out so hard, I thought he was shooting it, so I wasn't really ready for that. And we knew they were going to be aggressive. You know, we have a lead, and their PK is very aggressive, and they get one there, and I thought we responded really well. Like you said, in the past, we'd let that sit and, think about that for a few more shifts and let that affect our game. And I thought we did a good job just dumping it and moving forward, and that's what you need. And I thought we had a really good start to our game and a really good response once they, got those pushes.
Coach Appert was talking about how the days of you standing on the faceoff dot on the power play were over. Do you feel more comfortable in that spot leading to that goal today?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think what he's getting at is, teams pre-scout and they're going to sit on that and try to take that away. So what are you going to do in response to that? And I think, for us, it's just got to be quicker puck movement, and we got to run low plays. And for us, I think that bumper in the middle is huge. And that goes back to, Zucker being there. And anyone who fills that role is really key for us to shrink the PK. And then once you get them shrinked, that's when it comes back out, and that's when you start shooting and get those seams. So, I thought we've done a good job. Obviously, we were a little snake bit for a while there with not getting any goals, but the movement and the process that we've had has been good. I think the confidence hasn't wavered, so that's what you like to see, and we got rewarded tonight.
Thanks, Tage. Tage Thompson on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Tage Thompson has been amazing in his career against Detroit. In 16 games, he's got 20 points, Pat. That's over a point a game, 10 goals, 10 assists.
Yeah, today, you look back over the course of those two goals, what was the common denominator? Some great passing. Sabres did a really good job on their goals early in the game. Some crisp passing and keeping teams on their toes.
Jason Zucker is up next, live with Paul.
Yeah, get going after that.
Talk about the team's offense has been scoring at will this season. What are some of the things that you are doing to be effective tonight?
I think there's a lot of, kind of a shooting mentality that I've liked with the team. When the plays are open, make those plays. Like Tomer's first goal tonight, obviously an unbelievable play. But, getting to the right places, and I think a lot of that starts from playing really good defense. I think we're doing a better job of that, helping ourselves in the D zone to give ourselves offensive chances on the other side.
What was the mentality when, all right, you don't want to give up a shorthanded goal, but it happened, but you get the next goal to take the lead, and then you shut it down in the third period? What was the mentality after that happened?
I think for us is just kind of getting back on the horse. Give yourself a chance to win the game. We're doing some good things. Obviously, that's not a chance and a goal we want to give up. But overall, we liked our game, so we had to get back at it and take every opportunity we could.
Thanks, Jason. Jason Zucker on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Zucker getting his first as a Sabre to open the scoring. 4:04 into period one on the power play, and Pat, that breaks the streak that we've been bringing up quite a bit lately. The 0-for-22 skid. The power play, I thought, has been looking better. More movement, more quicker passing. They did give up a goal, but you heard the explanation. Thompson actually said Dahlin faked him out so much. That's probably a puck Dahlin's got to send toward the net at that point, and trying to do that with the lead while you're on the power play. You could seal it there. You're up 3-2. You maybe go up 4-2. It could be over. Instead, now Detroit's tied it.
Yeah, and the special teams gets the goal. They give up one shorthanded, so it's all equal in the end. But special teams gets the goal. Zucker has a hand in that. And he also had a hand in a big part in the offense the other night. So making his presence known over these last couple of games, elevated to that line with Cousins today and helping to create some offense where he's really been a catalyst for a lot of what Buffalo's done these last couple of games, and he gets rewarded tonight with his first today with his first goal of the season.
Yeah, he seems to be able to set up others quite a bit. We know assists-wise he's been doing very well. But you hear some of the others talk about him on the power play, how he's able to set that up too. So, you know, a smart player, that's definitely something too we've seen with the additions tonight. We've talked about McLeod quite a bit, maybe Malin seen some other times, some others, but Zucker tonight definitely, or this afternoon rather, on display. He almost scored a second goal right after his first one, just missed it on trying to bat it out of the air after he hit it with his hand.
Yeah, so you know he's going to be around the net, and that's something else we talked about in pregame today, of guys that want to be around the net, around the play, something maybe the Sabres have lacked overall outside of a handful of players, and definitely that is one noticeable trait of a lot of these players, not only be able to create the offense but to get in the spots that give you the best position to create some of those goals that you may have not gotten in the past.
5-3, Sabres win it. We are going to have Lindy Ruff's postgame comments here shortly. Let's talk a little bit about Jack Quinn. He gets the empty netter, but has a huge hand in the game winner, Pat, with his net presence in front.
Yeah, again, it's a player that goes to the net, and Bowen Byram takes the shot. Alex Lyon makes the save, but because Quinn was tied up with the defenseman right at the top of the crease on the side of the blue paint, it results in the deflection off the Red Wing player and a goal. So even though Quinn doesn't directly have a hand in the point, he has a hand in the goal overall, and so he gets rewarded later with that empty netter. But again, it's another sign that even though he hadn't scored up until this point today, Quinn wasn't necessarily letting the frustration creep in. He was continuing to play the game that Lindy Ruff wants, and it resulted in Byram's first of the year.
One of the things that we mentioned about what does Lindy Ruff want? Well, he wants net presence, and you're right. That's a perfect example. Quinn gets no point value in terms of an assist or anything on that goal, but why does it go off Petrie? Well, because Quinn is there. If Quinn's not there, Petrie's somewhere else, and then that shot ends up just going off of Lyon's pads and into the corner.
Right. And look, some of the guys, look, they're not the biggest guys in the world. Peyton Krebs isn't the biggest guy in the world, but he's not afraid to go to those spots.
Right.
Jack Quinn, he's still, you know, still very young and rounding into, you know, his full size and potential, but he's not afraid to go to those spots. So it's not just the guys like Malenstein who is able to block shots and maybe go to those areas, but how are the other guys able to do that as well? And that's such a big part of this. And again, even though he doesn't get a point, that has to build a little confidence that you directly have a hand in Byram getting the goal, and you can feed off of that as a team, resulting in this 5-3 win.
Yeah, so that goal for the Sabres coming from Byram, that's the game winner. That was even strength. Quinn adds the empty netter, and of course Zucker on the power play finally ends that drought at over 22. Buffalo in the game goes 1 of 4 on the power play. Detroit 0 of 2, so Buffalo's penalty kill has been doing a nice job this season so far. That's your Dynabrade.com power play update, powered by Dynabrade Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo.
One of the players we talked about in pregame, Rasmus Dahlin. What does he do? Go out and get 3 assists on the first 3 goals for the Sabres today. And again, it was the passing. There are a couple of plays you want back if you're Dahlin, but overall in this game today, his ability to create the offense on that power play, the goal to Thompson, he had a big hand in why the Sabres offensively end up with 5 goals in the game.
Let's get some more final stats in now. They're brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Thompson's game, we mentioned it, how good he's been against Detroit. 20 points in 16 career games. He ends up with 3 points, 2 goals in just under 19 minutes. Leads the team with 6 shots. He had 16 shots attempts. All right, down to the room here. Here's Lindy Ruff live.
Respond from it. You know, the short ending goal, you score the next one. And then you lock it down in the third period. It just seemed like, okay, this happened. Let's forget it. Let's move on. Was that the mentality?
Yeah, we talked about, you know, the next shift has to be a good one. And, you know, they've been on a pretty good run, although, you know, they've got outshot pretty badly, but they've been winning games. They got a lot of skill up front, but they, especially with that top 6 forwards, and we knew they were going to make plays, so. I just felt we got a little cuteness in the second period, especially in the power play. We could have, Dahls could have hammered a shot and maybe a little unselfish trying to get it back to Tage. But I thought we got a game in order for the third period, played a strong third, and we were able to lock the game away.
Even generally speaking, I mean, what's the difference been for this group in the third period that's allowed you guys to lock down these leads the last couple and get the wins?
Well, you know, you have to take a real smart approach to the game. You don't have to put a lot of risk in your game. If you're leading the game, force the other team into making mistakes and getting real aggressive with you, and you'll all of a sudden you will get some chances because of their risk. But if you put your own risk in there trying to score more goals, there's a good chance that you're going to give them the opportunity to get back in the game. And I thought our guys were really good about playing smart and doing the right things in the third.
This game is often reminiscent of the Pittsburgh game. How much do you guys sense that your players are learning some of the lessons here, even from game to game? And last year that was a big problem.
You know, we got to continue to grow. You know, I think we're growing, but it's a daily basis where you got to trust what we need to do and do it at the right time, and we're getting better. We've talked a lot about the start of games. I thought our start of the game tonight was good. At one point, I think the shots were 13-2. We came out, scored the first goal. We got a—I know you're going to ask—we got a power play goal, which, you know, was big for our club in the first period. So there was a lot of good in that first period. I know that they had a little push, and they're good enough to have a push, and you have to defend it, and it's how you react to the push. Whether you're going to end up winning a hockey game or not.
How relieved are you that Ofer is gone?
I told you guys by the end of the year it would be gone, and I kept my promise.
Tage is playing at a level that he's playing at right now, an elite level. Just how does that transform a team, I guess?
Well, you know, I think every team almost has that line that they go to, and it's such a comfort to put that line out there the way they're playing. I mean, offensively playing really good, but defensively doing a really good job. You know, if you look at the end of the game and where JJ positionally was at, you know, I can't say enough about his game, but I think when you get the puck on Tage's stick, he's shooting it, and he's a tough guy to defend, because if you play the shot, he can beat you with some one-on-one play. And I think what complements it all is, you know, you've got Tuck on that other side that, you know, is... he's a puck thief, and he comes up with pucks, and they generate a lot of opportunities from being in the right place.
Did you like the movement you saw from Rasmus Dahlin, and especially in the first half of the game?
I did. I said last game I thought his game was close to being where it needs to be. And then again tonight, I think he went through quite a bit going through camp and missing with the injury, and I think he's still... he's getting close to where he needs to be.
Coach, you shuffled the lines in the middle wingers on the second and third line tonight. How do you feel that paid off?
Well, I shuffled before, and then I shuffled during again, too. So, I mean, you're going to find that I think there's a pair of guys that can always play together. I think in some situations, you, whether you're trying to get other guys going or whether you're trying to defend something, you'll maybe move a piece around the lineup. I started one way and went back to another way. So that's a pretty common theory for me.
Was there any reason to switching back in the middle and kind of reshuffling as the game went on?
To see if we could get even better. Because if you don't shuffle them, you'll never know.
Zucker seems to be one of those pieces. Is that just because he's the steadying presence of the forward group? What have you seen in him?
He's got... a dimension to his game that I think can help you in different ways. He can score. He can set up a lot of plays. I think if you look at his numbers, a veteran guy that, you know, I put him with a cousin and Quinn to see if, you know, just help get them going. Maybe that extra play. So just looking at ways of trying to get better as a team.
Did you get the sense that the 5-on-6? You got the break, Kane hits the post, but it almost would have been unjust. You probably deserved to win that game. You deserved that break.
You know, the one puck rattled around like two things and went right to Kane's stick, and I think it only happens to Kane. I would have thought that was unjust because it hit like two things, and like it didn't go to his skates. It went right to the tape. But I think that, you know, we're going to continue to work on that part of the game too, where we don't give up the opportunity we ended up giving up. But I thought, again, the desperation with the extra guy and with the skill they had on the ice, you're going to have some looks that you have to defend.
What's it do to the group when somebody like Beck drops down to block a shot late in the first period there, especially with where the game was, momentum?
It tells you how much, as a group, we want to win a hockey game. it sends a message right down the bench. And I think what I really like is every guy in that bench is up, letting them know what a, you know, what a move to go down and make sure that puck didn't get to our goaltender.
You struck three wins together. That was a problem. You weren't here for it last year, but now is that something that you, if you're going to be a better team, you have to do, be able to string wins together like that?
I think every team puts runs together of some distance, whether it's 3 to 8 to 10, whatever it is. If you can get momentum, I mean, there's things that catch fire, like your top line catches fire, your special teams catches fire. There's different areas of your game that can really help you push. And I think right now we've got a top line that's really been doing it. I think if our power play can gain a little bit more traction now, it'll help us continue on this run. But you do need it during the year because you know there's going to be a time where you're playing good, you're a hot goaltender, you don't put the puck in the net like we kind of started the year. So take advantage when you get on a run.
How much of that is your contract compared to the
player's contract? Well, I think I've talked to the team about building an identity. You just can't have one. You have to build one. Part of that identity is what Beck did at the end of the first, what the two or three players did at the end of the third when it was 5-on-6. It's a mentality that we'll do almost everything to win a hockey game. And we're going to do it from day one right through game 82. Thank you.
All right, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff, his live press conference brought to you by Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. We bring it back up here to the press box along with Pat Malacaro. I'm Brian Colziel. Sabres win their third straight 5-3 over Detroit, Florida. We'll be next on Monday. All right, for all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodbye to you at this time. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, you can go to WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. For all of you listening on WGR, more postgame coming up. We'll head down to the media room, get Paul Hamilton's take when we return, get you some more highlights, more stats. We'll update you on the standings. The Sabres sitting in a nice spot as of this moment in the Atlantic. That's all coming up here. 5-3, Buffalo over Detroit. I'm Brian Colziel along with Pat Malacaro. Thanks for listening. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sabres on it quickly. Good support by the Wings here for a shot and a great glove save by Luukkonen on Berggren's shot just off to Luukkonen's right.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen faced 25 shots, made 22 saves. That one, our save of the game, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For all the great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. Welcome back here to the postgame. Brian Colziel along with Pat Malacaro. 5-3, Sabres win it. If you're listening on your way home from KeyBank Center, your drive home is brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, with you for the extra mile. Yeah, Pat, you mentioned Lukanen was good, but the team just let up four shots there in the third, and Lindy Ruff mentioned there was some block shots in there, too. He loves that mentality. He says the bench is feeding off that.
Yeah, and you see the work that's being put in, and it's everybody, in for the most part, making those opportunities, cutting those off. It was Malenstein in that first period, the one that was referenced in the post game there. But you see so many different players kind of blocking shots and getting in the lanes and making sure that some of those shots don't get through, especially even though the puck ends up on Patrick Kane's stick there in the empty net opportunity. You just saw the Sabres trying to clog those lanes and not give Detroit any clean looks.
Nice spin from Lindy. When asked, did he get a break with Kane hitting the post? He's like, no. He got a break. The puck deflected three times right onto his tape. Love it.
Both things might be true.
True, yes. All right, let's go down to the media room. Paul Hamilton standing by. Paul, I know a lot of ways we can go with this, but let's start with the block shot since we were just talking about it here. Whether it's one in the first period or one in the final minute, I think this team is buying into seeing some of the rewards of doing so.
Well, there are a lot of good things to talk about in this game, definitely, but quite honestly, I want to talk about the bad things because I want to talk about how they responded to them. You know, all right, Darlene makes a bad pass, shorthanded goal. You'd like your goaltender to make a big save, the whole nine yards. But, all right, you gave that up, but you still came back and got the go-ahead goal, you know, before the second period was over. And it was a little over 4 minutes later. So you respond to it. All right, you didn't have a good play. Shake it off. There's still a lot of game to play, and there's been too many times in recent history where they don't shake it off, and they get destroyed by something like that. And then next thing you know, instead of being 3-3, it's 6-3 Detroit, and you're on your heels. But they didn't handle it that way. You know, they had a good first, 15, 16 minutes of the first period. Then they allowed Detroit to get up on their defensemen, and Detroit scored a goal to make it 2-1. Okay, now what? What are you going to do about that? And Thompson scores 3:20 into the second period to get your two-goal lead back. You know, the shorthanded goal tied the game. Yeah, my great play. But how do you respond to it? Are you going to just say, woe is me, we have to be better and throw your sticks and everything? Or are you going to get better? And you're going to shut it down in the third period, you know, which, you know, they did. And even when they got the break, and his, you know, Lindy even said, well, Kane's the only one in the league that happens to. And it does seem like it, you know, when things like that happen, it always goes to the guy who scores goals.
Yep.
You know, but, you know, he hits the post. But Jack Quinn, who's been struggling, but is out there in that situation. Why? Because he's good at it, and he's a smart player. He's right where he's supposed to be. And, you know, he can hit an empty net. Because, you know, he's an elite type shooter, and he gets his first goal of the year, and they get the empty net goal. You know, really, that's two games in a row now they've scored an empty net goal. That's not an easy task for this team in the past. And not scoring empty net goals has cost them points, and more than one point. I mean, we've talked about this so many times where, well, they had the opportunity, they missed the empty net, they hit the post on the empty net, they didn't score it. And then the other team came down and scored with 10 seconds left in the game. Then the other team won it in overtime. And what should have been two sure points turned into one or turned into none. You know, it's just, you know, they just – so it's just saying something simple, like they hit the empty net two games in a row to be able to win games. They locked down the third periods. You know, I'm sure you've already said the shots were 6-4. Mm-hmm. I think 12 minutes into the period, I believe they were 3-2. You know, they weren't sitting back. It wasn't like they were sitting there letting the Red Wings come to them and hope that Lukanen holds them in. You know, they were just not making dumb plays. They weren't, you know, throwing the puck up the middle or, you know, it's like make the simple play, get the puck out of there, make the Red Wings come all the way up ice again if they want to come up and then defend again. And then do everything, you know, block the shots when you need. They had some great block shots in this game. Do that when you have to do that. Be opportunistic when you do that. You know, Bo Byram, we didn't talk to him, but I bet you he was trying. It looked to me like he was, because Quinn was in the schmozzle over there with Petrie. And it looked like he maybe was trying to get it over in that area. Why? Because exactly what happened. When you have your players going to the net, what's going to happen? They're going to take Red Wings with them. So now you got four players around the net instead of two because the Red Wings came with them. Sure enough, the puck hits the goaltender, hits Petrie, and it's in the net. You know, just, you know, plays like that, which they couldn't do before because they were on the perimeter. There wasn't anybody to bank the puck off of. Well, the Red Wings aren't going to stand there and screen their own goaltender unless there's a saber around. So the goaltender's just going to get an easy save on that play. But now that the Sabres are much better at being around the net, you know, you get a goal like that.
Paul, the Thompson line was excellent again. Lindy had a little bit to say about all three players, just kind of their own unique brand of why he feels like they're a tough line to play against. And he used the phrase, you know, there's some comfort in sending them out there, knowing what they can do. And I think for almost every shift out there, at some point that line produced some sort of opportunity to maybe give them a scoring chance.
Yeah, and you know, the power play goal, Thompson's shot was the hardest shot since 2021, 104.6 miles an hour. It didn't go in the net, but it put out such a long rebound, Zucker put the puck in the net off that rebound. And it's funny because that was the hardest shot since 2021. It was broken on October 24th and then broken again by Tage Thompson here on October 26th. And it had stood for since the 21-22 season. But, yeah, 104.6 miles an hour he cranked up there. And a lot of the time, I don't know if he's ever had a harder shot. Wouldn't surprise me. But look at all those one-timers he used to score on the power play a couple of years ago from that spot. Some of the absolute bazookas he had. I'd be interested to find out how hard the shot was against Ottinger the other night that he scored on. But, you know, that's how they got the power play goal because he explained it great. And I think people maybe don't quite understand what the Sabres were talking about in Seth Appert when they're saying, well, the days of seeing him in the circle taking the one-timer is over. What he means is just setting him up there and trying to force plays to him like they did all of last year with no plan B. You're still going to be able to get those opportunities, but what you have to do is start getting the penalty kill fatigued. You do that by keeping the puck into the zone and winning battles and moving around. Keep moving. Keep them moving around. And now you can get them into chaos. Once you get them into chaos, they're tired, they're not going to be thinking straight, and that's when you maybe can get Thompson over there for the one-timer because now they're not thinking right, they're fatigued. Now maybe that passing lane's going to open where you can rip that one-timer. So that's what they mean. It's not like you're never, ever going to see it, but it can't be just stand there and do it the whole night for 2 minutes and get the puck intercepted and get thrown down ice.
5-3, the Sabres win it. Paul, how about a quick thought on Jason Zucker? Not only does he get his first as a Sabre, he almost got his second, but just kind of what he's bringing to the team that has really helped them play better to start this year.
Yeah, and I liked the first two shifts when he was out there with Cousins and Quinn. Now it didn't stay that way. Lindy Ruff obviously didn't like it as the game went on. Probably once the Sabres weren't playing as well. You know, one of the things Lindy Ruff had to do is to get the Detroit Red Wings forwards off his defense. They were getting on his defense hard, and then they didn't have any place to go, and then the breakouts broke down, and that's why the Red Wings were able to get a goal and play better near the end of the first period. And basically play better as the game went on. The Sabres, I don't think, ever dominated again like they did in the first 16 minutes or so, but then it's a back and forth, which is a normal hockey game. You know, it's going to be very rare where you dominate from start to finish. There are going to be times where maybe you got to hang on for a second. Maybe, you know, it's not going your way. You got to figure out, okay, what can we do to counter this? And that's what at least we're seeing in these three games. They're doing a better job of countering. It's like, okay, they're coming at us. They're getting on our D. What can we do now to, as Jason Zucker talked about at the end of the first period, to shorten that gap and help the defenseman out?
Paul, thanks for all your work today. Appreciate it. Enjoy the Bills game tomorrow, and we'll see you here Monday, Florida. So we're right back at it here Monday night.
Okay, looking forward to it.
All right, great. Thanks. Paul Hamilton down in the Sabres media room, Buffalo winning 5-3. Also, some good news if you didn't hear Lindy Ruff in the pregame today. He said Nicholas Obey-Cabell is cleared, essentially ready to go. So he didn't put him in today because he only had one practice yesterday, but would be available to play. We'll see if Obey-Cabell is ready to go on Monday when the Sabres take on the Florida Panthers. The injury report is brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at Catholic Health St. Joseph's Campus. Go with Joes. When we come back, we'll see what's happening in the rest of the sports day, and we'll update you on the NHL standings. Sabres in a good spot in the Atlantic. We'll tell you right where they are when we return. 4-4-1, the new Sabre record. 9 points in the standings after a 5-3 win over Detroit. Back with more postgame at KeyBank Center right after this on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Here's the call up top, drops it off. That one off the inboards, Peterk is on it. Alex Tuck side of the net, now Rasmus Dahlin for Thompson, scores! Tage Thompson and TNT explodes as soon as that puck hit the stick, and the Sabres are up 3-1.
There's your first star, Tage Thompson, with Dan Dunleavy on the call. That put Buffalo up 3-1, his seventh of the season. Thompson right now playing great. That Thompson line, just got the stat from Lance Lykowski from the Buffalo News here. He said Thompson's line tonight outshot Detroit 10-3, outscored them 2-0 in 5-on-5 situations. So the Sabres top line getting it done very much so. And Thompson really, really off to a great start right now. He is on pace for 64 goals, Pat, here. He's got 7 in 9 games.
If he could keep up the pace, that answers the question of how do you replace Jeff Skinner scoring.
That's right. You take Tage Thompson and then add Skinner's onto it, and that gets you to 64 for sure. All right, so we'll update where the Sabres are on the standings after the scoreboard here, but let's see what happened this afternoon in the NHL.
Thanks, Brian. It's brought to you by Figo Car and Joy Shore Border Attorneys. There was one other game this afternoon in which the Flyers rallied back, scoring 4 times the third period, defeat the Wild 7-5. Sean Couturier, the Flyer captain, 3 goals, 5 total points on the day, helping lead Philadelphia to that victory, sending Minnesota to their first regulation loss of the season. 7:57 to go in the opening period in L.A. The Kings and Utah Hockey Club are scoreless, while tonight the Bruins and the Maple Leafs meet from Boston. That's a 7 o'clock face-off, while the Blues are in Montreal taking on the Canadiens at 7 o'clock. Capitals and Lightning drop the puck in Tampa, as well as the Rangers hosting the Ducks and the Jets and Flames running out the 7 o'clock action. 7:30 tonight in New York, as Buffalo's next opponent, the Panthers, are meeting the Islanders. Sam Reinhart already 13 points on the season, 5 goals, 8 assists for the defending Stanley Cup champions. The Predators drop the puck with Columbus tonight at 8 o'clock from Nashville, while the Stars welcome the Blackhawks at 8 as well. The 3 games out west tonight at 10 o'clock see the Canucks hosting the Penguins, the Sharks in search of their first win of the year in Vegas, and the Hurricanes will meet the Kraken in Seattle. Also, the Sabres AHL affiliate, the Rochester Americans, 7 o'clock faceoff tonight in Cleveland against the Cleveland Monsters. The Bills announcing just a couple of minutes ago, just about a half hour ago, 2 elevations from the practice squad for tomorrow. Iliyanku, the defensive tackle, will join wide receiver Jalen Virgil, and their elevation from the practice squad, and led to be seen tomorrow at 4:05 when the Bills take the field, potentially without several players, including Curtis Samuel, who missed much of the week of practice. To college football, where Ohio defeats UB 47-16. That was this afternoon. So the Bulls falling to 4-4 in the year, 2-2 in Mid-American Conference play. And later on tonight, Game 2 of the World Series in Los Angeles. Yoshinobu Yamamoto will get the start for the Dodgers, hosting Carlos Rodon and the Yankees. The Dodgers with that 6-3 walk-off grand slam by Freddie Freeman last night, the first ever walk-off grand slam in World Series history. Dodgers taking a 1-0 series lead over New York. Series will shift to the Bronx on Monday night after an off day tomorrow for Games 3 and 4, and if necessary, Game 5 on Wednesday night as well, Brian.
All right, looking forward to watching that tonight. Great drama yesterday in L.A. It'll be again tonight just after 8. Well, Pat, the Sabres win and now have 9 points. That at the moment, there's still night action, as you just said. But as of this moment, they are in solo second in the Atlantic. Only Florida
has a better point total. Both the Panthers and the Sabres have played 9 games. Florida has 11 points, the Sabres with 9. And Florida is here Monday. So it'll be an opportunity to try to go chase them down on Monday evening. Of course, they already met these two teams 2 weeks ago here. And the Sabres won that game. That was their first win of the season.
Yeah, so if you're going to sit here through the first month of the year and say the Sabres have beaten Florida twice at home, they've held serve against one of the top teams in the league, and, oh, by the way, you've already beaten Dallas, who is shown to be outstanding, especially with Jake Ottinger. He was in net that night. You have the win over Detroit today, a team that we said you're going to have to be better than in the end, and if you can get maybe 3 out of 4 points in the two matchups in about a week span, well, then you're sitting pretty a month into the season. We're not chasing points as much as you're just picking up points and keeping teams like potentially a Toronto that probably should be in front of you at the end of the season. Keep them in your rearview mirror for a little bit, and then, you know, you've really put something together, especially after the first month of the season.
Today is just even, you know, they won, but they even won in regulation.
Mm-hmm.
They could have had, we mentioned Kane hits the post there with a minute to go. Last year, that puck always found its way in.
Right.
And maybe they end up losing in overtime instead.
And that's two games in a row where we have sat here and said, in the past, the Sabres find a way to lose those games. Dallas the other night, where it got to 3-2 thanks to an empty net goal. This afternoon, an opportunity for the game tier there by Kane doesn't go in, and Jack Quinn sent it down the ice. Two straight games, you get the empty netter to salt the game away. So maybe this team has learned from their past mistakes. It's a lot of the same players that have been here the last couple of years that have been on the wrong end of those final scores. We'll see if they've completely turned the corner, but this is a step that they may have been starting to kind of get out of that funk that they've been in the past of not getting those points out of those games or leaving points on the table.
Yeah, they'll have Detroit again a week from tonight in Detroit. Next Friday, they're home for the Islanders, but Monday is the next game, as you mentioned. Florida, if you want to watch Florida tonight, 7:30, they're playing on Long Island against New York. But we'll have, of course, our Steve Foley Law pregame show Monday at 6, and then puck drop just after 7 o'clock. With the Sabres and the Panthers. Make sure you tune in again for that Steve Foley Law pregame at 6 on Monday. All right, for all of us listening here on WGR, don't forget Bills coverage starts tomorrow morning, and then we'll have the kickoff just after 4 o'clock from Seattle and post-game afterwards, and then Monday, of course, a lot more on the Bills and getting you ready for the Sabres that night against the Panthers. Pre-game tomorrow at 11. All right, thank you very much. All right, that'll put a wrap on things here from KeyBank Center. I want to thank our crew. Evan DePasquale, our network producer, back in our Amherst studios. Evan, thank you very much. Pat Mullicaro, Jonathan Colziel, Paul Hamilton, all here at KeyBank Center. Tom Maddy, our engineer. And for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, I'm Brian Colziel. Again, the final, Sabres 5, Red Wings 3. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Enjoy the Bills game tomorrow, and we'll talk to you here Monday, Sabres and Panthers, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.